I want to talk this evening a little bit on theology, a bit of teaching here, and we're going to call our teaching this evening, The Just Live By Faith. The Just Live By Faith. It's a big, big, big subject. You could preach this for a long, long time, but we want to tonight just bring out some areas just to encourage us. Why it is God requires faith from us to believe, to act upon our faith and the promises of God's word. He is not going to let us get away with it. We look for alternatives and excuses. But this is the basis of how we are going to make it into the kingdom of heaven. And I want us to turn first to Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 1, verses 16 to 17. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 to 17. This is the great work of the Apostle Paul. And here he is showing how we are justified by faith, God's sacrificial lamb given for the world. It's all recorded here, how that the law now is fulfilled, done away, and we are under a new covenant of grace and mercy. But it is a covenant of grace and mercy where we just don't sit back and just do nothing. We still work out our salvation in fear and trembling. And we take it up from verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For it is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, as it opens up with these two verses, which I'm sure you know very well, verse 2 really gives the root of why he's not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we likewise, if we know his righteousness in our life, then that gives us the boldness in which to share this good news, this gospel, because it's the power of God to salvation. Salvation, the doorway into the kingdom of God, is placed in the Word of God. And the word of God is given to God's church. It is its proclamation, its teaching. This is why I always say, if you love Christ, you love his body. Because he's head of his body. And we know that many of our brothers and sisters are not happy where they are. I see it constantly come up online, where they're not happy with the teaching or the pastor or the various things that you hear. And for many of them, I have said, if it's right, then you come away and you ask God to start to build around you, to build his body, which is really something they've never heard. And I've encouraged them to say that God will bring along others of like mind and heart and spirit as he did with us, and that we believe that the Holy Spirit will move. And that's why Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I. And this is why I'm so convinced that the church in these last days, in this time of apostasy, we're seeing it returning back to the home, just like in the book of Acts, where there is a group or there is a family, and in that God raises up a teacher or a pastor of where they can be taught, where the anointing, where the headship of Christ can take his rightful place. We must never limit God how he can work and does work in this. But too often, Christians are looking for these big empires and denominations, trying desperately to put new wine into them when new wineskins are needed. And this is why little happens. And they'll stay there knowing that it's wrong, knowing that the teaching doesn't line up with the Word of God. And yet they'll stay there because they feel there's nowhere else to go. There is always a way of escape. But the Lord says, wherefore come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. Many of these institutions, these churches, are unclean. They are not the right place in which to have your lives changed and be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ, because there is so much corruption that stands behind pulpits. And it's not until I have gone online till again I've seen just how bad it is, particularly in the West. But God is in control. And we see here, the apostle says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. You can only believe upon the word of God that is taught under the unction, the anointing, lining up with that which you read. And he says, of course, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. And that was always the apostles' burden and heart, to always go to the Jew first, simply because of what they had received, unlike any other nation. That was his burden. But verse 17 also tells us, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So it is the power of God to salvation to everyone believes. But he says, importantly, in verse 17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed. That is vitally important. You cannot have imputed to you God's righteousness unless you are in faith believing, because it says it's revealed from faith to faith. As it's written, the just shall live by faith, or by his faithfulness, as it tells us. So, let's just remind ourselves of the doctrine of justification. And it's interesting that this is both in the New Testament and the Old. We note that Isaiah 53:11, it says that the prophet foretells that Messiah, by his death, would come to justify many. And the Apostle Paul in the book of Hebrews takes this up in Hebrews 11 and verse 4, where he speaks of justifying sinners. The Apostle Paul takes this up in Romans 4:3, and other passages that shows that justification is by faith. Let's just read quickly what he says in Romans 4 and verse 3. For he says, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Why? Because Abraham acted upon his faith. He forsook all his land, and he took his family, and they began to walk by faith, trusting God. And on that basis, He was justified. He hadn't even been circumcised yet. The law had not been established, the Mosaic law. So here we see God justifies on the basis of faith, believing. Now it's interesting, the term for justification, it never means to make one righteous, especially with regard to man. It means to count, to impute, or to declare one righteous. So in other words, it's a sovereign confession from Almighty God, who has confessed, declared that you are righteous. Now, in reference to God, it means to be right or righteous. It's declared to be right. That is what God says over us, what he said over Abraham. I declare him right. Nothing could come against that. No power, no demon. The very enemy himself could not touch that. You see, the Bible does not teach that a man is righteous because he believes in Christ, but he has a new nature, or he's counted as right because he's born again with that new nature, which is righteous. You see, the new nature that you receive is a righteous nature, because your new nature is found in Jesus Christ, who was received by the Father and taken up into glory. But we know that God has to deal also with man's sin. You see, we can't overlook sin, because man is guilty before the law of God. In his love, he is provided an atonement, the same as the children of Israel had to have atonement for the high priest to go into the holies of holies, to spill the blood, to shed it upon the mercy seat, to cover the sin of Israel. So God doesn't ignore sin, but through Christ, he has satisfied the demands of his law against sinners. Because God knew the law could not make man right eternally before him. You see, God had given Moses the commandments, the law on Mount Sinai. Do you know how many laws Israel had to keep? It's around 600 commandments to be kept. Now, God knew that they're not going to keep all of that. No man could keep it. That's why we're told that the law was a tutor, a pedagogue, to teach, to bring them eventually to Christ. But the law was also to teach them that they are coming before a holy and righteous God, that they cannot come before him in any way that they think that they would like to come. They had to go through all the rituals of which to come before the presence of God. And it is some 600 commandments. Mind-boggling. Because God could not overlook sin. He does not ignore sin. And so through Christ, he is now satisfied the demands that his law has against sinners. They are kept. Those 600 commandments were kept through his Lamb, Jesus Christ. Now, don't try and work it out. It was miraculous. It was a miracle. But Jesus fulfilled all of that. Because the Bible says all are guilty before God and all must die. You see, God's plan to justify man does not, if you like, suggest that the believer has never sinned or that he's not guilty, but by repentant sinners' faith in the atonement of Jesus Christ. So my faith, my repentance is always in the atonement, the blood of Jesus. This is why I make so much about the blood of Christ, that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And if you have missed the mark, you've fallen, then you are redeemed and you confess the blood of Christ, that atonement that has covered your rebellion, your unbelief, your sin at that point. And God will then be at peace with you, and you are in fellowship with him. This is why we have to keep such close accounts with the Lord. I'm always on about that with you. If you think you've sinned or you've missed the mark, never leave it. But come before God. Or if it means having to come away from your desk at work or machine at work and go into a cubicle, into the toilet to repent, do it. Never leave it, for it could be too late. That's the point. Because the law must be fulfilled in the guilty. This righteousness of the law is fulfilled now in us, in the Christian's heart. Here it is in Romans 8 and verse 4. Romans chapter 8 and verse 4. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And there we are. So Romans 8 speaks of the righteousness of God fulfilled as we daily walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. As we take up our cross daily and we follow Christ, that I die daily, that the life of Christ may be fulfilled in and through me. That was the apostles' confession. And it should be our confession, that my life, my walk, is on the basis of being right with God. You see? You see, when we think of the moral basis for justification, it was the where Jesus had fulfilled all the demands of the law that was held against us, that pronounced us guilty. Because it says in the word, whom God has set free, you are free indeed. And this is why, through our faith, we have this word propitiation, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, that are dealt with, that is cast away as far as the east is to the west. So God declares, and he says at this time, his righteousness is made right in us. As it says in Romans 3, that he might be just and the justifier of them who believe in Jesus Christ. And that is why he sent his Son to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins. And it is done on the basis of faith, believing. That is how it's appropriate. It's appropriate as I believe in the promises of God. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God are yes, amen, in Jesus Christ. They are there for us to act our faith, which is a sign we are right with God. His righteousness has been imputed to me because I walk by faith, or from faith to faith. And that is a gift. This is why God will not take unbelief from us. Yes, we confess it if there is unbelief, but the reason why is because your faith is a gift. It is given. And he says you walk from faith to faith, just like the saints did, meeting all the trials and the tests or whatever it is. Not thinking it strange when various trials and tests come upon us, but to know that this is an opportunity that I walk by faith because I have been made right before him. It's been imputed to me, given. You see, none of us can be exempt from this. This is why we teach the deeper life. The message of faith for this very purpose. Few, it seems, today teach this or even understand it. We've just got this idea that you are born again, you declare, you profess Jesus Christ as your Savior and just go your way and live like the world. That's most of how the church preach it today, certainly in the US. No responsibility, no fact that you are declared right and that your righteousness is on the basis of faith, believing, acting upon your faith, upon the promises of God's word. That is unheard of today because it's so easy to trust in man, to trust in the arm of the flesh. And all the provisions that we have from the early Christians who walked after Christ to what we have today, we are utterly spoilt. We are. We've never had it so good. But you know what? It is the enemy to the gospel. And that is its danger. And it seems a lot of Christians want to bury that and push it under the carpet. But God won't let that be. Your life, your consecration, what you face and everything is all the purpose of God. He has each of us in a situation where we're going to have to act our faith. And that is the mercy and grace of God. What does Romans 10 verse 4 tell us? Romans 10 and verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. He's the end of the law. Why put yourself back under the law? Which so many Christians do. Can't save you. We're under a new covenant of grace and mercy, which requires us to walk by faith and trust him. Can't get away with it. And that's why God used the law in Galatians 3:24, in which to bring us to Christ, the one who has overcome all things and the devil himself, and that we now triumph in him. You're not walking faith as you should be because you are not looking to him. Your eyes are not upon him as they should be. We are too distracted. The world is still too strong and influential. We are still wanting to do our own thing. And all of those are hindrances stopping us looking to Jesus, who's the author, finisher of my faith. Do you want a strong faith, a faith that is active, that sees the miraculous happening in your life, your ministry? It always comes as you look to him and him alone. And you will deal with anything that is trying to avert your vision from looking to him. You will be hard upon it, hard upon yourself. They are the costs of discipleship. We know that if you put your hands to the plow, you do not look back, because he says if you do, you are not fit to enter the kingdom of God. Jesus has made the requirements of discipleship absolutely clear. You only have to read the Beatitudes. A heart that will walk by faith and keep the promises of God is a heart that is pure and right before God. And that is why he does this heart surgery upon us. And thank God that he does. For he says that I would change these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. And I expect him to do that. I want him to do that. Because I don't want to deceive myself. And so God will let us go for a season, and then he begins to work on the heart. Because out of it are the seat of the emotions. Out of it is your confession, what you believe. And so he's going to work upon that. And often he does it through our circumstances, through our trials, various things that we go through that very often don't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense. Why am I going through this trial? What is its purpose? What am I learning from this, or whatever it would be? I don't question that now. I leave God. He's sovereign. He knows what he's doing. Because many times our walk as Christians outwardly looks a failure. But they are the very things in which God can get to the heart and to change these hearts from stone to flesh. Until your heart is touched, you don't really know. We don't really see or hear. And that's why I love the Lord so much, because he doesn't keep us in that state. He's ever changing us into his image each day by the power of his Spirit. And if you are aware of that mighty work taking place in you, then you have been justified and you are living and walking by faith. Faith unto faith. They are the clear signs that we are on the right walk. That is why I'm always for change. Moving forward. Experiencing what God has for you each day. Because if we don't experience that from Almighty God, you might as well just go back and go back into the world and enjoy it for a season. But if you walk with God, then expect the very best. Expect the miraculous. Expect what cannot be done in the natural can be done with Almighty God. He does require us to have also an expectant faith, believing. And that comes as we get into the Word, as we hear the Word, because Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing the Word. Hallelujah. So the just live by faith. There we are. That is the doctrine of justification. It has been imputed, given to you. It is a gift found in Jesus Christ. And those who are justified are on the basis that they act their faith daily. Amen.